Hello, this is Joan with the Bloomington Normal Pantograph dated Thursday, January 16th, 2020. We will begin today's reading with on the front page with the article headlined, Election Judges Guard People's Right to Vote. County Clerk, BEC Training Workers for March 17th Primary by Paul Sweech. Bloomington. Edwin Eads is a 72-year-old Republican from rural Cooksville, and Rob Watson is a 38-year-old Democrat from Bloomington, but they will have the same jobs on primary election day and do it for the same reasons. They will be election judges on March 17th, and they do it to ensure everyone's right to vote is protected. It's almost like a civic duty, said Eads, a semi-retired farmer. It's a long day, but I get to see people I know and get to know new people, and people understand their right to vote. It's a civic responsibility, said Watson, who works in technology services marketing and communications with the University of Illinois. I've worked at the same polling place, Calvary United Methodist Church in Normal, for several years, and I've become friends with some of the other judges, Watson said. I want to do my part to have elections go as smoothly as possible. Eads and Watson spoke Wednesday following a four-hour-plus election judges training conducted by the McLean County Clerk's Office. The office, which runs elections throughout McLean County except for the city of Bloomington, has training sessions throughout January and February for new and veteran judges, County Clerk Kathy Michael said. We need 500 judges, Michael said. We have 540 so far, so we have 40 on our wait list, but we are still accepting applications because we do see judges' illnesses and emergencies on election day. Bloomington Election Commission, which conducts elections in Bloomington, needs 260 judges and has about 130 so far, Executive Director Paul Shannon said. We're not concerned yet, but it's starting to be an issue, Shannon said. The more judges, the easier it is for everyone. Election Commission's judges training is done online, Shannon said. In the Government Center community room on Wednesday, 25 election judges were trained by election specialists Andrea Beyer and Penny Rickard with the County Clerk's Office. The judges learned how to open polling places, set up iPads, prepare touch screens and paper ballots for voting, what it means to have no electioneering within 100 feet of the front door of a polling place, how to handle possible violations, the rights of poll watchers, and how to close the polling place. Voters may use a touch screen and verify by paper that their vote was accurately tabulated, or by paper, which is inserted into an optical scanner. One focus of the training was learning how to use iPads, which judges will use to check in voters and process same-day registration. The iPads are new and replace the laptops, which became obsolete and needed to be replaced, Michael said. The county spent $300,000 for 151 iPads, software, and related hardware. I've seen a lot of evolution in the election process, and everything has been to the good, said Eads, a longtime election judge. The evolution has been to improve the efficiency. These new iPads will increase efficiency to get people processed. Watson, a judge since 2012, said, the iPads will streamline the process. The laptops were dated, so sometimes there were technical issues. With the iPads, because they are more modern devices and mobile, they are a more secure tool digitally. Anyone who wishes to become an election judge with the County Clerk's Office can get more information at mcleancountyil.gov/elections or call 309-888-5588. Anyone who wants to do so with the Election Commission may go to becvote.org. Election judges are paid $200 and work from 5 a.m. until well after the polls close at 7 p.m. You need people dedicated to ensure the integrity of the process, Watson said. Facilitating that civic duty to others is vital to a participating democracy. And here is a related story on the front page entitled, Experts, Vote Early, Skip Lines, by Paul Sweech, Bloomington. McLean County Clerk Kathy Michael and Bloomington Election Commission Executive Director Paul Shannon anticipate a large voter turnout for the primary election on March 17th. Please register to vote before Election Day because we anticipate a large turnout, Michael said. Allowing people to register and vote on the same day is a great law, but it takes three times longer. On election days in 2016 and 2018, especially at Illinois State University, many people were registering and voting on the same day, she said. People already registered to vote can take advantage of early voting or vote by mail. People can register to vote on the State Board of Elections website, www.elections.il.gov. Bloomington residents also can register with the Election Commission in the Government Center, 115 East Washington Street, Bloomington. County residents outside of Bloomington can register with the County Clerk's Office in the Government Center or at mcleancountyil.gov/elections. The Election Commission runs elections in Bloomington, and the County Clerk's Office runs elections in the rest of McLean County, including Normal. You can double-check your registration at elections.il.gov. People must live at a new address for at least 30 days before they can vote in that precinct, or they can vote in their former precinct. Registered county voters may call 309-888-5588 or go to mcleancountyil.gov/VBM to request that a ballot be mailed to them. Bloomington residents may download an application at becvote.org. Early voting begins February 6th at the Election Commission and the County Clerk's offices. The Election Commission also has several days of early voting at Eastland Mall in Bloomington. The County Clerk's office has several days of early voting at Eastland Mall and ISU's Bowen Student Center and Waterson Towers. Days and times are listed at mcleancountyil.gov/elections and at becvote.org. Polling places for Election Day are listed on the back of voter registration cards. You also can call the County Clerk's Office, the Election Commission, 309-888-5136, or go to elections.il.gov. Polling places being moved in Bloomington are from First Christian Church to Wesley United Methodist Church, 502 East Front Street, from Lafayette Club to Lincoln Leisure Center, 1206 South Lee Street, from Miller Park Pavilion to Miller Park Zoo, and from Union Park to Evergreen FS, 402 North Hershey Road, and St. Patrick's Church of Myrna, 1001 North Tawanda Barnes Road. The only polling place being changed in the county is in Colfax, from 124 East Main Street to 307 North Harrison Street. On the ISU campus, where anyone in the county may vote, a second polling place and 50 additional election judges have been added at Waterson Towers, in addition to the polling place at Bowen Student Center. The additional polling place was a recommendation of the ISUE election team, which includes ISU staff, faculty, and students, Michael said. Each Election Day polling place in the county will allow voters to use either a paper ballot or computer. Our equipment is not connected to the internet, so it can't be hacked, and we are mandated to have a paper trail, Michael said. Shannon said, by the end of the month, we are moving our server to under the city server to make sure our server is more secure. Doing so will mean more robust firewalls and an IT staff that is monitoring it more than our staff is able to. The next article is headlined, Editor, Win Public Trust. Crane's leader tells IWU transparency essential to news. By Maria Nagel. Bloomington. Illinois Wesleyan University junior Megan Baker worries all the time about whether the information she is reading is true, especially with social media and how active young people are on social media. I think we always have to be skeptical about the information we see and make sure it comes from reliable sources. That was the message from a Founders Day speech Wednesday from Jim Kirk, publisher and executive editor of Crane's Chicago Business, who keynoted the IWU event with "The Future of Journalism in the Fake News Era." I thought it was a really timely speech. It ties in with IWU's annual theme, Fact or Fiction, perfectly, said Baker. I think it's important to constantly remind people to think critically about the information they consume. Kirk, a graduate of Illinois State University, is a former editor of the Los Angeles Times and the Chicago Sun-Times. Founders Day honors the 30 civic and religious leaders who came together in 1850 to establish the university. In his speech, Kirk asked attendees to raise their hands if they thought news stories described by Kirk were fake or real. The audience correctly identified two of three examples. I use these examples to demonstrate the state of play when it comes to fake news versus real news from traditional news sources, said Kirk. In countless newsfeed forums on Twitter, Facebook, and increasingly on Instagram, both real and false information sometimes spill together, making it unclear to readers whether they are true or false. The traditional news industry, the one that has been trusted with truth-telling for hundreds of years, is in uncharted territory, battling untrue news and its effect on the industry, said Kirk. At the end of the day, no one wants to be lied to, and no one wants to share something that is inherently false. But as an industry, we need to come together to make it easy for readers to see the difference. Transparency is key, said Kirk, such as sharing more information on the news gathering process, including how many people and sources reporters talk to, and documents used to put stories together. That information can demonstrate the thoroughness of the reporting and lend credibility to stories. These kinds of conversations are really important, said Chris Coates, Central Illinois editor for the Pantograph. News organizations need to lean forward, explain how we do our jobs, and show our audience that we're people too. That's a dialogue we need to be having every day. There's no shortage of people who want news and want to be informed, said Kirk. Even though the advertising picture looks grim, the New York Times added 273,000 new online readers in the third quarter alone, Kirk said. The New York Times audience is now its biggest in history, with a total number of print and digital subscribers at 4.9 million. I think, obviously, a lot of work has to be done on building a new business model that can support journalism, said Kirk. I think we're seeing some innovative models that include both new infusions of cash from new investors, as well as possible nonprofit kinds of funding for specific journalistic projects. I think it is going to be a mix of all sorts of things for the future. The future of print journalism has been debated for years, but I think journalism will survive, said Kirk. It will just evolve into some other platforms that we now currently are starting to see. No matter the platform, journalists' most important role will always be speaking the truth to power, he said. The next story is entitled, Normal Community Students Speak Up Against New Grading System, by Kelsey Watznauer. Normal. Nine students from Normal Community High School told their school board Wednesday night that an inconsistent grading system is hindering their education instead of helping it. Standards-based grading has been marketed as the next best thing in education, But some ideas are better left on paper, said Junya Swetha Viljuvolo. Students spent about 30 minutes of the two-hour McLean County Unit 5 board meeting voicing their concerns, including how much class time has been dedicated trying to learn this system rather than on coursework. They called it detrimental, unrealistic, very confusing, impossible, and, as Viljuvolo said, we aren't learning, we're just suffering. Standards-based grading links student evaluations to a rubric based on proficiency, using a scale of 1 to 4. However, students said the system is not universally applied and cannot be translated to all classes. Senior Lindsay Holtz said she scored higher in her more challenging classes, such as college algebra, that still use the traditional grading system, than physical education classes using standards-based grading. I believe it'd be more efficient to be graded over the quality of my work, but the standards, as I see it, are based only on the quantity of my work. This is not an effective system, she said. Deputy Superintendent Ray Epperson said, I think it's not necessarily the standards-based teaching that is the real concern. It's the format and the process of the grading, and those are things that we're continuing to work with the staff on. Junior Katie Kruger said the district's use of standards-based grading set up her and her classmates as guinea pigs. While many of us do not have a problem with testing a new idea in the district, it also needs to be transparently proven to work, be working in other places, and show improvement in specific ways. To this, Epperson said, we didn't invent standards-based grading. We're not the only district in the state, in the country, that's using standards-based grading. It's becoming very common across the country. Some students also said their teachers haven't been able to give satisfactory answers to their questions about standards-based grading. Epperson said the main concern is that it is a change because most departments in the high school used standards-based grading for the first time this year, and teachers, like the students, still need time to adjust to the change. If you've been a teacher for 25 years and you've graded a certain way for 24 of those years, and now you're grading differently, it's natural to have concerns, he said. The district has been working on this system for 6 years and has implemented it in the elementary and middle schools. The next story is entitled, Lee Taps Regional Advertising Director, by Kelsey Watznauer. Bloomington. Jamie Reynolds has joined Lee Enterprises Central Illinois as Regional Advertising Director. I think the most exciting part for me is just getting to know the area and the people here, she said. Reynolds has worked in the media industry for 18 years, starting in a newsroom when she was still in high school, and most recently focusing on digital advertising and events with Gatehouse Live. Once I got into advertising and saw what it did for local communities and the businesses here, I was just hooked, she said. In her new role, Reynolds will oversee advertising at the Pantograph, the Herald and Review in Decatur, Journal-Gazette and Times-Courier in Mattoon, and Woodford County Journal in Eureka. Barry Winterland, general manager of Lee's Central Illinois Group, said that with Reynolds' extensive digital background, he's excited for her to join the team. She brings a wealth of knowledge, not only on the print side, but really heavy on the digital side, and I'm excited for our advertisers as we move more into the digital arena to have that exposure to such a wide range of products, he said. Her first priority will be getting into the communities to meet people to help her figure out a plan of how to best help our sales team help the community, Reynolds said. Ultimately, it's coming up with new ideas and fresh ways to promote their business that maybe they haven't had access to before, she said. Realizing it's not the same newspaper conversation that it was 20 years ago, Reynolds said she is always looking for new ways to bring new people into those businesses. Reynolds grew up in Carbondale and is moving to the Bloomington Normal area from central Missouri with her husband and four children. It feels good to kind of get back to home, she said. The next story is entitled Surgeon Accused of Sex Crimes by Paul Sweech. Bloomington. A Bloomington man who is an orthopedic surgeon was arrested Wednesday as a result of an investigation of alleged sexual assault and sexual abuse involving an adult victim. Sean A. Kink, 34, was arrested at 4:45 p.m., Bloomington police said in a statement released Wednesday night. According to the police statement, he was arrested on two counts of aggravated criminal sexual assault, physical disability, and one count of criminal sexual assault, force or threat of force, and one count of criminal sexual abuse, force or threat of force. Bond was set at $200,000, with 10% to apply, so he must post $20,035 to be released. Police said Wednesday night that Kink was being held in the McLean County Jail. Kink is an orthopedic surgeon with Bloomington-based McLean County Orthopedics, MCO. According to the MCO website, he joined MCO in September 2017. MCO Vice President Dr. Jerry Oakey told the Pantograph on Wednesday night that he had just learned about Kink's arrest. I am as surprised as anybody, Oakey said. I was not aware of this until tonight. Oakey said he knew nothing of the allegations other than the list of charges that police released Wednesday night. He said that to his knowledge, as of Wednesday night, Kink was still affiliated with MCO. We are surprised and shocked, Oakey said. Our patients come first. We look forward to the outcome of this being positive. Bloomington police said anyone with information about the case should contact Detective Jeff Engel at 309-434-2371 or at jengel@cityblm.org or Detective Jared Roth at 309-434-2379 or at jroth@cityblm.org. Anyone with information who wishes to remain anonymous may call McLean County Crime Stoppers at 309-828-1111. A call that leads to an arrest or indictment of a suspect could result in a reward of as much as $1,000. Here's an article entitled O'Donnell Named Superintendent by Kelsey Watznauer. Stanford. The Stanford-based Olympia School District has chosen a successor to Superintendent Andrew Wise, and the board didn't have to look far. Currently serving as Olympia's assistant superintendent, Laura O'Donnell will take over the job on July 1st. This is home for me, as I attended school in the district, graduated from Olympia High School, and chose to reside in the district to raise my children here, she said Wednesday. O'Donnell has been an educator for 25 years and has worked as an administrator at the elementary, middle, and high school levels. She was a teacher, assistant principal, and principal, and spent 5 years as director of secondary education, all at Normal-based McLean County Unit 5. Between her Unit 5 jobs as a teacher and principal, O'Donnell also spent 3 years as principal at Olympia South Elementary School in Atlanta. She returned to Olympia in 2018 to serve as assistant superintendent. She has a master's degree in curriculum and instruction and expects to complete a doctoral degree in educational administration and foundations in 2020. These professional experiences, my formal education at Illinois State University, along with being an Olympia graduate and lifetime resident of the district, have prepared me to step into this role, O'Donnell said, adding that she is extremely excited and looks forward to working with the rest of the Olympia team to move the district forward. Kevin Frazier, Olympia School Board President, said the board, which approved the appointment Tuesday, is extremely happy and excited that O'Donnell will be the district's next superintendent. After the board reviewed Laura's credentials and conducted an interview, it was obvious she was the very best choice to lead the district moving forward, he said. We are looking forward to working with Laura as we continue to move our district forward into the future. Wise, who has been superintendent at Olympia since 2013, is leaving for a new position in a northern Illinois school district. His last day in Olympia will be June 30th. The district did not disclose O'Donnell's salary. And here's a story entitled, King Gospel Festival Set at IWU, by Kevin Barlow, Bloomington. 3 decades of praising God through music and remembering the legacies of the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. will continue again next week with an event Monday on the Illinois Wesleyan University campus. The Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. National Holiday Gospel Festival was founded by the Reverend James and Corrine Sims in 1991. At that time, there was no other local event on MLK Day to honor the slain civil rights leader. I keep pinching myself to see if it has really been 30 years, said Barbara Sims Malone, the Sims' daughter. She's executive director of the United Community Gospel Singers, the event sponsors since the first year. The 4-hour festival begins at 5 p.m. Monday in the Westbrook Auditorium in IWU's Presser Hall. The 10 performers include choirs and dance teams, the Fantastic Jones Family of Springfield, 1AKORD from Peoria and Rockford, Church of the Living God, and St. Luke Church from Peoria, the United Gospel Singers of Bloomington Normal Mass Choir, Mount Kisba Baptist Church Sunbeam Choirs, BCAI School of Art Praise, Union Baptist Church Adult Choir, and the Powers Sisters. The first event was held at IWU's Fred Young Fieldhouse, where 3,000 people gathered in 1966 to hear King speak. I remember that first festival, and we had a choir on a wooden stage, and everyone was clapping and stomping and having a great time, Sims Malone said. We thought the stage was going to collapse. She added that many others have helped over the years, including late IWU President Minor Myers, Jr. Before he died in 2003, he insisted that IWU host the event each year. I know all of them, my parents, Dr. Myers, and everyone who had anything to do with starting this are up in heaven smiling and very proud of this event, she said. It's a blessing, a true blessing. King spoke at Illinois Wesleyan in 1961 and returned to the university to speak in 1966 after receiving the Nobel Peace Prize. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for January 16th. Please stay tuned.